Today on Real Radio.
This is God speaking. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth grapes, good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? You hear his heart? He wants fruit from our lives.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on the parables of Jesus. In Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, we read of the parable of the barren tree. It's also often referred to as the parable of the barren fig tree. Four verses with a whole lot to say about growing as a believer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with the parable of the barren tree.
When should God be able to call upon the Christian to preach the word of God to anybody? In season and out of season. But because even if it's out of season, you'll still have fruit. Why? Because you have leaves. How? You're like a tree planted by the waters. Living water, mind you. Do you get that? Ooh, that's really neat. It's a bummer when you enjoy things on your own. It's kind of empty, you know. But anyway, God's investment in life, secondly, in verse 7, is that he has patiently waited. He's telling us that he's patiently waited. Then he said to the keeper, look, for these 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I have found none. Cut it down. Boy, can you imagine? Cut it down. Hey, listen to this. The second declaration is even scarier. Why does it use up the ground? Listen, it's bad enough to live your life without God. Your life has no meaning. Your life has no purpose. You're aimlessly living for all the gusto you can grab. You're trying to think that your life was given to you so you can be a pleasure seeker. And if you go for that and you just go for it, guess what happens? You wind up being broke, burned out, tired. You look thrashed, beat up, pooped out, and you're no happier. In fact, you're worse off because you've tried all this stuff and nothing's worked. So now what do you do? Well, you were designed for something much better, and that is a relationship with God. And your life without God, think of it, your life, what if the angels, I mean, imagine, the Bible calls angels in the Old Testament the watchers. Isn't that kind of creepy? They're watchers. Where were you recently alone? You were not alone. No, I was pretty much alone. You were not alone. God has his watchers that watch over mankind. Yikes. You're never alone. I wonder if they might talk to one another. Why doesn't he cut this person down? Why does he allow them to even take up air? What do angels talk about? Imagine like a child molester, and angels are there. Do you remember Balaam and his donkey? Yes. You know the story? God tells Balaam to do something, and Balaam's totally not obeying, and over again, he's disobeying God, and he gets on his donkey, and he's riding his donkey, and he's riding his donkey up against what probably was an actual property line, vineyard line, it'd be a stone wall. And he's riding on the property line, and the Bible says an angel appears, but Balaam can't see the angel. But the donkey sees the angel. The animal sees the angel. Does that mean animals see angels or can? According to the Bible, the donkey saw the angel, and the donkey freaked and jumped back and pinned Balaam's leg against the wall, and Balaam starts beating the snot out of his donkey. This is a great story. The donkey says, what are you doing? Have I not served you all my life faithfully? And then Balaam can see, all of a sudden now Balaam can see the angel standing there. And the angel says, you know what? If this donkey wouldn't have moved out of the side, I would have cut you in half if it wasn't for this donkey. The angel was going to kill him. Wow. Think of the watchers who must assess human life and say, what? How is it that God allows this human to live on? Isn't it amazing? I bet you they're in awe of his mercy. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1, listen, Isaiah 5, 1, listen to God's heart in this. Now let me sing my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in the midst, and he also made a wine press in it, so he expected it to bring forth good grapes. But it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. This is God speaking. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth grapes, good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? You hear his heart? He wants fruit from our lives. Before we get in and before we enumerate what the fruit is, I want you to jot this down. What are the hindrances to fruit? What keeps fruit from growing? Are you ready? We're going to blast through this. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. We're living in those days now. For men will be lovers of themselves. Is that true or false? Lovers of money, true or false? Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. They've got leaves. They've got a form of religiosity. But deny its power. They've never been changed. There's no biblical fruit in their lives, but all of this flesh. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Wow. 1 John 3:7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins or practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Thank you, Jesus. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. The word means practice. They don't repeat the same sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Galatians 5:19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, which is drug use. The word sorcery is pharmakei, pharmacy, drug use. The word actually means hallucinogenic type of drugs. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, the word we get orgies from that original word, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I've told you before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is fruitlessness. Jude 1:8. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, that's a whole other Bible study. That's awesome. What a weird trip that was. Dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, this is Michael speaking, the Lord rebuke you. That is, Michael is saying the Lord rebukes Satan. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts. In these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of who? Balaam for profit, using the ministry to make bucks, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feast. Notice where you find them, in the church potluck. While they feast with you without fear, they have no godly fear. They have no thinking that they're going to be held responsible someday for their actions. Serving only themselves, they are clouds without water. Isn't that sad? That's like Southern California. We get clouds, but rarely do they ever have water come out of them. How hopeless is that? Carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Yikes. Man, is that graphic or what? God takes fruit bearing very seriously, church. Listen, verse 7 goes on. He's determined the season. When he said, you know, let's cut it down, basically he's saying time's up. There's going to be the intercession, and we'll see this in a moment, of the groundkeeper or the keeper of the crop. But God has determined the season. In this case, it's mentioned here 3 years. For each and every one of us, God desires you and I to grow, and he's provided everything for you and I to grow. We live in America. For that matter, it doesn't matter. We live in the 21st century. I think you could live at the bottom of the South Pole right now and have internet access to the Bible. Even if you're blind now and you don't know Braille, you can listen to the Bible from Genesis to Revelation audibly now. Well, what? When we say, oh, I don't have time to read the Bible. I mean, are you really? You really? Yeah, you do. I don't have time to do good stuff for God. I don't. Really? Yeah, you do. Yes, we do. Fruit bearing, very serious. What kind of fruit are we talking about in this? So, Jackie, okay, what kind of fruit? You just talked about the stuff that we shouldn't do. Okay, this is great stuff. Are you ready? Write this down. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And this is fun. But the fruit, not fruits, it's fruit singular. But the fruit of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, is what? Love. Singular. That's it. Still, wait. It goes on. Yes, but watch. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And this is very cool. Out of love, the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's a God-engineered thing. There's no way that you and I can love this kind of love. God does this in you. And so when you love with God's love that he gives you, and look, don't you ask for it? I ask for it. I don't have that love all the time. I need it all the time. I don't have it all the time. But when I do have it, guess what? Guess what the fruit, okay, if the fruit of love, singular, is joy. You can't be filled with the love of God and not have joy. I'm just full of the love of God, but oh boy, I don't have any joy. It's impossible. Peace. You're going to have peace. Long suffering. See, I need more love. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Against such, there is no law. What does that mean? If you and I ask God to instill within us his love, the Spirit of God will pour this stuff out of our lives. And when the law comes by to look at us, it just walks right by us. It can't accuse us of anything. The law's got to keep going. Wow. Third and final point, we'll end with this tonight. The parable of the barren tree is God's warning for life. But he, that is the innkeeper of the vineyard, answered and said to him, sir, let alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. Notice this intercession. Some have likened it to the ministry of Jesus. And if it bears fruit, well then great, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. He intercedes mercifully. Three things, quickly. Notice this, mark it down, church, because he's desiring to do this to us. He extends mercy. Mercy. He's announcing mercy. It's fruitless, fruitless, fruitless. Okay, give every bit of special attention. Is God reaching out to you tonight? Is God speaking to you? Do you know anything that's going on in your life? And God is saying, fix this. Deal with this. You have not been Christ-like in this situation. You have not been like me in this situation. Fix it. Deal with it. What's he saying to us? When he does that to us, he's saying, let me fertilize around you. Let me dig up. What does that mean? Dig it up. Dig. Soften the soil so moisture can get down inside. What do we do when we see a plant that's hurting at home? We go get Miracle-Gro. Right? We do everything we can. You have a prized vine or a special. I have an olive tree in my backyard, and it's just, oh, I go every day. I look at it, grow, man, grow. I mean, it's gorgeous. And I give it vitamins. I have to confess. Don't tell anybody this, but I actually, when I plant stuff, I say, God, please bless this thing. May it be amazing. And here's this tree. And we're funny, you know, in our age. I have an olive tree, but do I eat olives off of it? No, of course not. I hope it doesn't get any olives because it could mess up stuff, you know. Might stain my furniture or something. We're so carnal. We want it to look beautiful and we want it to look fruitful as long as it only has leaves on it. No, God's into fruit. But he extends mercy, and this is a call to repentance. He's really saying to the nation and to maybe us tonight, you are running pretty low on the fruit department there, so let my word be fertilizer to your roots and to your soul that you might grow. Consume my Miracle-Gro, the word, and you'll grow. Read your Bible, pray every day. How's that song go? And doesn't it somewhere go like, and you'll grow? Grow. Every little kid knows this. The word of God causes us to grow. His mercy is extended. Secondly, he adds opportunities. Until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, look, he goes, well, oh boy, that's the hope. He adds opportunities to be fruitful in our lives. This is amazing. God will bring to us knowledge about stuff. Did you know that? Are we all Christians in here tonight? God will reveal to you. You'll hear about something. Did you hear that Fred stubbed his toe? What's that for? Oh, well, tough for Fred. Yeah, that's a bummer. You're a Christian. God has called you that when Fred stubs his toe, you say, Fred, do you need your lawn mowed? Oh, no, it's just a stubbed toe. Let me mow your lawn. When you become aware of something, God is saying to you, that's for you to act upon. Well, nobody greeted me tonight when I came in here. Are you aware of that? Then God wants you to start saying hi to people. You know how it feels, right? So what do you do? I'm just going to sit on that until I become a old shriveled up bitter prune over it. Or you can say, hey, I was overlooked tonight. I'm going to make sure that nobody else is overlooked. Guess which one's going to grow? One is going to look like a fruit tree with no fruit. The other one is going to be a fruit tree with fruit. Yes. Opportunities. John chapter 15, verse 1 says this. Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. That's called a trial. That it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me. Live, stay close, don't leave, make your house in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Isn't that great? That's the key. You don't have to walk around going, I got to love this guy. Oh, I've got to love this guy. I can't stand this guy. I've got to love this guy. No, if you hang out with Jesus, you're going to wind up loving that guy that you don't like. Isn't it amazing? If anyone, verse 6, does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. They are gathered them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. You did not choose me, verse 16. Go down to verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Wow. Third and final thing. We end right here. Verse 9. God's warning for life is that he gives chances. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. See the mercy in this? The goodness of God? Cut it down. Only after. It's the last thing. Listen, my dear friend, we're all done. Here's the thing. Are you a person who has a form of godliness but has denied the power of the Spirit of God? Are you a religious person but there's no dynamic working of the Holy Spirit in your life? Take evaluation tonight of yourself. It takes seconds. Are you fruit producing, which honors God?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Barren Tree. The Parable of the Barren Tree is part of Pastor Jack's series of lessons called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, time for another Ask Pastor Jack, and I've got a good one for you today, Pastor Jack. Now, by the way, if you have a question for Pastor Jack, just send it to askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. All right, Pastor Jack, this one comes from Angela, who asks, Pastor Jack, who is the elect, and who is the 144,000?
Oh, that's a great question.
All yours.
Yeah, it's actually even bigger than the two. When you talk about and when you read about the elect in the Bible, First thing you want to do, Angela, is find out the chapter, the context, maybe even the very book that you're finding the word elect in. Why? Because the elect is mentioned in the Old Testament. The elect is mentioned, as you said, regarding the 144,000, who, by the way, the Bible tells us who those guys are. And I mean that sincerely. Guys, they are 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe.
Right.
They're male, Hebrew-speaking virgins that have the gift of evangelism, that are operating their ministry during the tribulation period. It's very clear when you read that in the Bible concerning the elect being the 144,000. The elect, again, is set by the context. They are elect. That's their job. There's the Old Testament saints. David was part of the Old Testament saints, the elect. Then there's the elect of Israel. Book of Romans talks to us about that, the elect. For example, during the tribulation period, there's going to be the elect of God. And it's speaking about those believers on earth during the tribulation period. But the church is mentioned as the elect as well. So what's the answer?
Okay.
The answer is the elect are God's people. Where you define the elect is based upon the book of the Bible, the context of where you're reading it. There's tribulation elect, there's church age elect, there's the house of Israel, the Jewish elect.
Wow.
There's the 144,000 elect.
Yeah.
So don't get so hung up on the elect. What you want to do is who or which one are these of the elect? What category are they into? And again, the context of what you're reading, that book, that chapter, will tell you who they really are. So it's not very confusing when you begin to pull your microscope back from the word elect and get a broader, almost telescope view, and then it will make much more sense.
All right, that's a question sent in from Angela. Now, by the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Jack, email it to askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Who knows? You might hear your question and answer right here on the air. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ
and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.